Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. A little pep in our step here this week at Baltimore Positive, celebrating Halloween as well as Halloween. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery putting on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to get that back out on the road. I got a ton of dates. I mean, it's so complicated that I have to figure the dates out with Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we're going to have tons and tons of opportunity to come out and say hello. I had such a good time at Drug City with my son on my birthday, taking a little respite. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION is the way to get in touch with them. You can enjoy your windows as much as I've enjoyed mine. 2 years, buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing at 866-90-NATION, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi-Care, right around the corner from your little orange light goes on like mine did a week and a half ago. Get it in the Jiffy Lube over there, Merritt Boulevard, or any of their locations in the area. They will take great care of you. This guy takes great care of us and all Ravens fans and Orioles fans when asked. The Detroit Lions came to town. They got their feelings hurt on Sunday. Luke Jones joins us now. He is Baltimore Luke. You can also follow him out on social media on the Instagrams and the LinkedIns and the Twitters and the Facebooks. And, you know, we're watching baseball, but this football thing's gotten interesting from the Ravens' perspective on Sunday. I feel like this is the blossoming of this particular version of the team obviously happened on Sunday. And, dude, we spent April, May, June, July, August. Offense, Lamar left, Lamar right, OBJ, first-round pick, Zay Flowers, Bateman, Andrews, J.K. Dobbins, the dearly departed J.K. Dobbins. And as it turns out, I said when the season began, watch the defense be the highlight of this team. Watch Roquan Smith be the best player on the field. And, you know, we'll make our case for Lamar going to the Hall of Fame or Roquan Smith going to the Hall of Fame 3, 5, 7 years from now. But the defense has been the consistent part of the team, right? I think we could say. And defense had his injuries on the backside as well. But the pass rush comes, the run stopping shows up. And the linebackers. It feels like it's a Bull Ware, Ray Lewis, and Jamie Sharper kind of era, kind of linebacker play. And I think a lot of us and a lot of the smart people, you DVOA and you Pro Football Focus folks, would say, man, linebackers, that's so last century. That's so not where we pay our guys. Boy, the Ravens are making a case defensively here for being an elite team on that side of the ball when no one talks about it.
Yeah, well, I think lots of people are talking about it, but your point is well taken, specifically talking about off-ball linebackers. And I think Roquan Smith, his value, and look, I'll take the Ravens take them at their word because Eric DaCosta himself said that from the moment Roquan Smith arrived, he viewed him as a force multiplier, meaning makes everyone else better around him, not just what he does as an inside linebacker. But, you know, I expected this defense to be good going into the season. Certainly there were questions at corner, and that wasn't helped by the fact that Marlon Humphrey was banged up, but they've held up very well on the back end of the defense. They've held up really well on the back end of the defense without having Marcus Williams on the field for more than two and a half games, whatever it's been. And certainly you wouldn't have expected that. But for me, what has been the biggest surprise has been the pass rush for this defense. We talked all offseason, really going back the last couple of years, we've talked about the pass rush and waiting on Adafe Owe to take the next step, waiting for David Ojabo to get healthy and for him to take a step. And for me to be sitting here now talking about a defense that leads the NFL in sacks, and yet what I just laid out there, Adafe Owe just got back on the field Sunday for the first time since week two when he injured his ankle in Cincinnati, and David Ojabo is currently on injured reserve. For the Ravens to do what they've done without those two guys being a big part of what their pass rush has become is really saying something about Mike McDonald. It's saying something about Jadeveon Clowney. It's saying a whole lot about Kyle Van Noy, who didn't even join the team until after the season started. For them to do what they've done and to have, 11 or 12 different guys with a sack on this defense, Justin Madubuike doing what he's done from the interior, it's really, really impressive because it has been such a collective effort. And I know John Harbaugh didn't bristle, but he made mention of, hey, it's not just the scheme. It's not just the coaches. It's not just Mike McDonald. It's not just, linebackers coaches, defensive line coach, credit the players. And it's really it's becoming really, really impressive to see this. And, you know, it's one thing to do it against rookie quarterbacks who are apt to take more sacks. We saw this big time with Malik Willis in the fourth quarter of the London game against the Titans, where, you know, it was pretty clear he had no command of that offense whatsoever. But in coming on in the Baltimore on Sunday, you had Jared Goff playing at a very high level. You had a Lions offensive line that's very highly regarded. And the Ravens picked up five sacks, and they rattled Goff early and often, and they did not allow the Lions to get in any kind of a rhythm. This is a pass rush that, as much as guys like me, and I even noted this late last week, you look at the sack numbers, but at the same time, you look at the pressure rate and some of the other metrics that tend to be a little more predictive in terms of what you're going to be over the long haul. I still have my questions, and you know, I still have my questions whether they're going to lead the league all year in sacks, just based on the fact that they don't have a Myles Garrett or someone of that ilk. But boy, they continue to get the job done. And hats off to Mike McDonald for the scheme and putting these guys in positions to succeed. And a major credit to these players who continue to bring it. And if you, again, if you had told me in late August that the Ravens would be leading the NFL in sacks, and that's with getting very little from Adafe Owe because he's been hurt, and same with Ajabo, I would not have believed you. I would have been quite surprised. So it really is a credit to this group. And once again, just like we talked about the offense doing this against a very credible Lions defense, a Lions defense that had been playing at a very high level, better than credible, for the Ravens to do defensively what they did against that offensive line, against a quarterback in Jared Goff, who all you heard all week was how great a command he's had of that offense, to rattle their cages and to hold them not just off the scoreboard until the fourth quarter, but they didn't even pick up a first down until midway through the second quarter. Really, really impressive, and just another feather in the cap for this Ravens defense here early in 2023. As you pointed out, they've been the real star of this 2023 Ravens team to this point.
Well, you know, when it comes to putting rosters together, and you know, it doesn't take us long around here when they draft a pass rusher like Owe to say, well, he's young, and it'll take a little bit of while. It'll take a little while. We watched Matt Judon run around on the block in the old days back in the locker room before he got paid up in New England. Za'Darius Smith, you know, these guys that they brought in, that Paul Kruger, going back a decade, that it took a couple of years for it to happen for them. But the notion, and Chad Brown, the old pass rusher from the Steelers and the Seahawks being a buddy of ours over the years, that Bill Belichick would call him in November and say, come in. We've seen Domata Pekka come in here. That these veteran 30-something players, whether it's Elvis Dumervil here at various points, or even things they've tried on the offensive side, whether it was DeSean Jackson last year, these you get into 30-plus guys and you say, all right, Kyle Van Noy, nobody else wanted him. Is it a price? Is it too much money? How much are we going to pay Jadeveon Clowney? And what does he really have left? And is it okay that he's just a third-down guy or just a pass rush specialist? What can he teach our other players? What can young players come in? And all of that for the pass rush side of this is – Eric DaCosta and George Kikinis go out in the pro personnel market and they try to figure out who can come in here and who can be a part of this. And in any year, it feels like if you're going to be a contender, you're going to be an 11, 12, 13 win team, you're going to have one of those guys on your team. You're going to have a washed up, four down linebacker, rush edge guy who's going to be 30 something, who has one skill set, getting after the quarterback, set the edge maybe, and on Terrell Suggs Day, and I can't believe they honor him. I mean, like, the last thing in the world I would ever do is honor Terrell Suggs. I watched his act here for a long, long time. But it was nice to see all the old players out. But on Terrell Suggs Honor Day, to see veteran guys, and Suggs was one of those guys in Kansas City, went off and, you know, got his bag at the end, got his ring at the end. Got another ring at the end, I should say. But veteran pass rushers, picking the right ones, you know, the Dwight Freeney guys that can hang on and can do it forever versus not. The Kyle Van Noy thing, they're not as good a football team without him over the last 7 weeks. They don't have him.
We have to start with Jadeveon Clowney, because Jadeveon Clowney's played as well as he's played in years. I mean, he's been that big for them. But
He's a
I agree with
1-1. Yeah, I mean, the potential was always there, right?
But 9, right, 1-1, but 9 years ago, right? 9 years ago, and also microfracture surgery in his, on his knee and other injuries and all these ailments and an ugly exit from Cleveland when there was perceived jealousy with him and Myles Garrett. And
by the way, a disappointing career. He's made a lot of money. He hasn't been. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. I mean,
well,
like,
yeah. I mean, relative to expectations, he's had a solid career overall. But yes, compared to the player you thought he could be, where people thought he might be Lawrence Taylor of this generation, sure, no question about that. But yeah, I mean, they've found a way to bring in, and they've done this before. They don't bat 1,000, but they bat at a pretty high clip in doing this, bringing in some veteran players who are perceived to be past their prime. Certainly money is an issue. And by the way, money was an issue. That's why Kyle Van Noy didn't join the Ravens in early August. You know, that we've seen this play out before with guys where, you know, they'll flirt with someone and then they come in a month or two later. I mean, that's kind of.
Have they brought in pass rush wise that hasn't worked out? Who, I mean, I'm trying to think of guys that they brought in like, meh, I mean, nothing. I mean, for the most part, they don't bring in nothings. They usually bring in guys that have something.
Yannick Ngakoue flopped.
Fair enough.
And that they actually gave a couple draft picks for.
And Earl Thomas, but not that position, but on the defensive side. They've made mistakes. They have made mistakes. Yes.
Right. And I wouldn't classify this as a mistake, but Jason Pierre-Paul didn't do a lot for them last year. He was fine. But
they were desperate. I mean, Kyle Van Noy was a little bit desperate, right?
You're fixating on what I said. I said they didn't bat 1,000. I didn't say they were batting 200. You know, so listen to what I'm saying. No, they've done very well in that regard. I mean, it's something that veteran teams and teams that have good front offices, teams that have good pro personnel departments, as you just pointed out, you identify and you scout and you look at what a player is, and you don't necessarily fixate on what a player used to be and is no longer that player, but you fixate on what do they still do well? And I think that's where the Ravens have done very well for themselves. But I think what's exciting about this, and you know, certainly you give the veteran guys all the credit in the world, but because they've done such a good job and they played at such a high level, despite the fact that neither one of them had, you know, especially in the case of Van Noy, he had no training camp whatsoever. Clowney had about 2 weeks of one. But now you see Adafe Owe come back on Sunday, and he played his butt off. I mean, he had 5 pressures. He had a sack. He got a couple holding calls against him, you know, in terms of rushing the passer and forcing, who was it, Sewell at right tackle. So, I mean, he really, that was good to see. And we saw him play really well in week one, and then he gets hurt relatively early in week two, and he goes away for a month because he had an ankle sprain that had him in a walking boot for at least a couple weeks, because I saw it with my own eyes. But now you add him back to the mix. You will see what happens with Ajabo in terms of returning to practice. So now it's, you have this pass rush that is leading the NFL in sacks, and it's an ensemble cast. You know, as much as we praise Clowney and Van Noy because they're the vets and they've come in and they've done this, look at what Justin Madubuike is doing. He's got 5.5 sacks already. That young man's making himself some money in a contract year. I mean, he's very well pricing himself out of Baltimore, quite, to be honest, because he's been that good. And you just wonder how much he might warrant on the open market. But in the meantime, you have guys all over the place. Patrick Queen, you know, one of the best blitzing inside linebackers in the NFL. I think that's, say what you want about Patrick Queen's overall game over the last 2 or 3 years, he's shown an aptitude to do that from a very early stage of his career. So you have him. And I mean, Arthur Millett blitz from the nickel spot. We've seen Marlon Humphrey blitz from a corner spot. I mean,
Kyle Hamilton.
I mean, you go down the list, they have so many different ways to create pressure. And this goes back to Mike McDonald and scheme and say, yeah, in an ideal world, you know what? You have Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, like the Browns have right now, right? And you line up and you can rush with 4 and you can make it look, you know, it's relatively conventional. There's not a whole lot of disguise, although every team, you know, runs stunts and games with their D-line to scheme up some prep opportunities. But it's just been across the board where, again, you look at this defense and you say, okay, who are the dominant pass rushers? You know, Clowney's played at a really high level, but been in the league 9 years, and we know his history and, you know, being on the wrong side of 30. And same with Kyle Van Noy, who has never really been regarded as this great pass rusher. He's been more of a, you know, a Sam linebacker, kind of jack of all trades, does it all. But you add those two to the mix and you get what you're getting from Justin Madubuike. But you know, you go down the list. I mean, they had a number of guys register either a sack or just multiple pressures. You know, the idea that you get a quarterback like Jared Goff, who's such a rhythm guy. I know Madubuike said it after the game that Mike McDonald was preaching all week. If you can get Goff rattled early, he's the kind of guy that will turtle up. That would be disrespectful to a guy who's, you know, been a solid quarterback for several years. But you can really get him off his game. You can really get him out of whack, and it's tough for him to get straightened up again. But you know, you look at it, and I'm looking at the next gen stats right now. Kyle Van Noy, 5 pressures. Odafe Owe, 5 pressures. Clowney, 4 pressures. Madubuike, 4 pressures. Michael Pierce, who has low key given them some pressure as an inside pass rusher. And you don't think that from a run stopping nose tackle. So it's really come from all over the place. And it's, you know, when you see what they did on Sunday, you do that against an offensive line that was very highly regarded. That's exciting. You know, it's one thing to do it against rookie quarterbacks who are running around and holding the ball too long and they don't know what they're doing, right? I mean, we see that. It's not a coincidence that rookie quarterbacks tend to lead the league in times being sacked. It's not just because of their offensive line. It's because they don't know what they're doing, right? And they don't know where the ball's going and they're holding it and they're, you know, that creates opportunities. But when you do that against Jared Goff and an operation that had been as impressive as this Lions offense through the first 6 weeks of the season, you know, that makes me look at that defense, look at that pass rush a little bit differently than I was when you're doing it against, you know, Malik Willis, or you're doing it against the kid in Cleveland who had.
Well,
no
the other thing about it is when you're losing 28-0, at least this is a credible offensive attack that can at any point go out and take 6 plays and go down the field and beat you. That on every play, yeah, you're pinning you're pinning back and getting after them, but you have to get after them. And they didn't complete 300 yards of offense and wind up scoring 21 points once they fell behind and getting garbage time touchdown. They got the one touchdown and that was it. And I think the defense will eat rocks for the next 6 days because of that, right? Because the shutout was what they had left to pitch. But to your point, when you're losing like that and you're passing on every down, you want to see 5 pressures, 4 pressures, 6 pressures, because that's what they're not going to. It's 1st and 10. They're not running the ball when they're down 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, no question about it. And even with that, okay, they give up yardage. Who cares about yardage? I mean, that Sunday was a perfect example. When you look at the final numbers and you see the yardage that Jared Goff had, you see the yardage that the Lions had. And that's why I don't dwell on yardage. That's why I look at, you know, success rate and DVOA and different things like that.
Jim Schwartz would always tell me back in the day, statistics in football are worthless, worthless at the end. Like, you look at the end and say, what does the stat tell me about the actual game? Probably nothing on this ledger. I mean, you can see sometimes it's lopsided, but you can see stats that are close and you say the game, the stats didn't play it out that way. And certainly the second half, the way the Ravens played the game, Lamar being off the field, all of that. I mean, it was a dominating effort. And defensively, I still think they can be better. Marlon Humphrey's not having a great year. He hasn't been on the field. I mean, to your point, Marcus Williams, a lot of the investment they made. And you talk about not paying running backs. And I think to myself, using a 1-1 for Myles Garrett, or maybe in the day, Jadeveon Clowney back with Houston, the Ravens go about value differently. I guess that was a little bit of my point with April. We talk about the draft. Who are they going to draft that's the next pass rusher? They're not. They're going to spend money on a player, and they're going to get great value on a 30-something-something, and they're going to find somebody. Not that they're teaching how to do it, who might be able to do it, like Odafe Owe, but somebody who's done it and somebody who's going to be 10 cents on the dollar for the value the Monday morning after a game when you see what these guys can do if you get them at that point. I feel like rush edges who can still do it in their 30s, they're like the best value going, best bang for your buck in football if you get the right one, and the Ravens have gotten a couple of them and have made a living doing this since Belichick did it 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, And again, a lot of that is just opportunity, right? I mean, they value pass rushers, or they don't draft Adafe Owe in the first round. You don't draft David Ajabo in the second round knowing that he's probably not going to give you anything his rookie year because he's injured.
But they don't value it like giving Za'Darius Smith $50 million, like, or even Matt Ibike in the middle.
They tried to give Za'Darius Smith money last offseason, and we saw how that worked.
I mean big money when he went to Green Bay. I'm talking about when it comes time to bring a bag of money.
Most of those guys aren't available, though. I mean, those pass rushers that are truly available in the open market. Sorry, you're breaking up on me a little bit there, but they value pass rushers, or you don't draft that guy in the first round. The point is, it's difficult, right? I mean, it's difficult. You just said it, 1-1. Well, they're not drafting 1-1 ever. I mean, they're not picking in the top five, so you're not going to get Myles Garrett. You're not going to get Jadeveon Clowney. You're not going to get Khalil Mack, who years ago they very much coveted, but weren't able to make it happen. So you go about it different ways, right? I mean, you can't get every single player that's available in the NFL. I mean, and so many of them don't become available, right? I mean, you make mention of the rare guy that hits the open market as a pass rusher, an elite pass rusher. Usually the top of the market is kind of what Matthew Judon was. And from that standpoint, they said, we didn't value him to that degree. They franchised him the year before that, so it's not as though they didn't value him at all. But yeah, to truly get those elite of elite guys, it's very, very difficult, in terms of having the draft pick to do it or having the financial flexibility to do it within the constraints of the salary cap. So yeah, you got to make it work. You've got to figure things out. And we've seen the Ravens pivot. We've talked about this idea of positional value. That's a moving target. It really is. For years, they did not value the center position in terms of using early draft picks or spending a ton of money. They went from Matt Burke and then basically a decade until drafting Tyler Linderbaum. And in between there, they had a lot of late round picks and, third and fourth tier free agent types like Jeremy Zuda, some veteran guys like that. I mean, they didn't use major resources on that position for a long time, but then you get exceptions to the rule, like a Tyler Linderbaum, who they valued very highly. So things change. Safety, we talked about that for a number of years. And then suddenly Kyle Hamilton becomes available in the middle of the first round, and you've got a top five grade on him. We've seen how that worked out. So there are always
they're spending money too on safety. I mean, safety was a place where back in the day, Billick would say, Ed, you're a safety, can't pay you like that. Modern era, whether it was Earl Thomas, Marcus Williams, I mean, they've really valued that position in a way to go out and try to fortify it in a way, maybe even more so than pass rusher, which, to my point, they'll just go sign one on the market and save a little bit of money and play him on third down and hope that it works out. And Chuck Smith, I've had Sean Merriman on a couple of times, and he's talked about Chuck Smith and about teaching the art of pass rush and bringing Jadeveon Clowney in, they've always got a guy in their room who can teach it, whether it was Terrell Suggs all those years, right?
Yeah. I mean, Terrell Suggs, you had Elvis Dumervil, you had Justin Houston the last couple of years. So, I mean, they've certainly had guys like that. I mean, with Chuck Smith, I mean, it's tough for me to evaluate him from, afar in the sense that it hasn't been Owe and Ajabo doing this for them, per se, although certainly Owe in the two games that he's played this year has looked really, really good. How much is Chuck Smith teaching Jadeveon Clowney at this point in his career? How much is he teaching Kyle Van Noy at this point in his career? I mean, there are tweaks here and there, and I'm not saying that Chuck Smith hasn't done a really good job. I mean, the results speak for themselves, but typically you bring in a coach like that to develop your young guys, and unfortunately for the Ravens, the young guys on the edge haven't been on the field because of injuries. So, the operation, it's been impressive. And again, they've made it work. And when you're leading the NFL in sacks through 7 weeks, whether they're going to lead the NFL in sacks all year or not, you're doing something right. So again, coaching, players, mix of vets and guys from different positions and creativity and all that, it's working at a very high level. And again, for me, I did want to see it against a better offense, against a better quarterback. Again, putting pressure on rookie quarterbacks and doing those types of things, that's not out of the ordinary, right? Rookie quarterbacks take a ton of sacks. You know, look in Washington right now. Howell, you know, who's a second year quarterback. I mean, he's on pace to take like 100 sacks this year. I mean, it's crazy, but young guys tend
David
to do that.
Carr range.
So when you have a Jared Goff, you know, someone who typically is looking to get the ball out quick, and you have an offensive line that's highly regarded with, you know, a lot of former early picks, you do that against them. And look, how much of it was because the offense? Yeah, it's all complementary, right? You know, your offense scores four touchdowns on its first four drives. Your defense forces a three and out on its first three drives. I mean, it all feeds into each, you know, they all feed into each other when you play like that. But for the defense to do that against that kind of an offense, against that kind of a quarterback, when, you know, you looked over the first 6 weeks of the season, Houston, rookie quarterback, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow playing on one leg, and the Bengals being all out of sorts, you know, early in the season, especially. Indianapolis, backup quarterback. Cleveland, a guy who's now their third string quarterback starting that game in an emergency setting. Pittsburgh, we've talked about their offensive woes. Tennessee, same thing. You know, so you could, you know, you could put a caveat, you could put an asterisk next to any of those performances if you wanted to. Not saying that I would for every single one, but you get my point. Doing that against Detroit and making Jared Goff, you know, harassing him and making him look downright feeble when he had played like a top five quarterback through the first 6 weeks of the season, when that O-line had looked like one of the two or three best offensive lines early in the season. That's saying something about your pass rush, about your defense, about your scheme. And the Ravens, you know, the offense, you know, they garnered the attention because it was that breakout performance. But boy, the defense was outstanding on Sunday too.
You could say the Lions are missing their running back, but I don't think that would have mattered on Sunday. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We are discussing. I can't believe we just did a half an hour and didn't say the word Lamar. A lot of defense going on, leading the league in sacks as well. Ravens on top of the world now at 5-2 and heading out to Arizona for a late game against the Cardinals this week. Luke will be on the backfields in Owings Mills because they let him all week. I'll be somewhere out on social media. You can find me. You can also email me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. We're going to take the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube out on the road. We have a very, very aggressive Crab Cake Tour schedule heading into, I'm going to have some pumpkin pie and some turkey. Maybe some eggnog with my crab cakes coming up here as we get the holiday season out. He is Luke. I'm Nestor. We're talking football. Stick around. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.